All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to an all-new episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. Very pleased today to be able to have a fellow content creator and a fellow immigrant, Johnny. Austrian Kiwi.
Austrian Kiwi. Servus.
Man.
What's up?
How did you, when did you come up with the name for the channel? Was it pretty easy or?
Yeah, this is one of the, there's been like one or two moments in my life where names for things has just instantly came. And I was, I think I'd made one video and I thought, I got to change my channel name. Because it was the old channel name was different and it didn't fit. Mm-hmm. So I thought, what do I call myself? And I'm in Austria, so I'm kind of Austrian.
Sure.
And in New Zealand, people are called Kiwis. So I thought Austrian Kiwi, right?
Like half.
And it was perfect. I mean, for me, I think it's perfect. I hope others like it.
I think it's a very catchy tag. Like when I first came across your content, and I didn't know your name yet. We hadn't really communicated yet. And Austrian Kiwi stuck out in my head. Like a lot of people's content, like my own, is just their name. So I couldn't remember everyone's name. Oh, Hannah or Liam, or I'm not sure. Oh, maybe that was like Larry. But like Austrian Kiwi is just like this tag. It's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something I'm proud of. Yeah.
Why do they call people from New Zealand Kiwis?
So there's the bird, the Kiwi bird, which is actually very interesting. It's a blind bird that can't fly, so it's very easy
it's like
to kill.
Me. So basically it's me.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's the fruit, Kiwi fruit. And I don't know, but New Zealanders liked that. They used to use that and they call themselves Kiwis.
Is it like the mascot of the... Is it the mascot of the
country? I reckon, yeah. I would bet... I don't know. I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
I would say so.
But you're doing content basically. I mean, we're like, we talked about this a lot earlier today before we started rolling on this, but we kind of, it's like we're sharing, like we do the same job kind of like in the same industry. But just like slightly different flavors. Like we're both cooks in the gastronomy industry, but I focus in on tacos and you focus on cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
Sort of like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was like, you know, when you started making content, or let's back up a bit. So what were you doing before you became Austrian Kiwi? Who were you? Who was Johnny? Where were you? What were you doing?
Yeah. A quick overview of myself. I'm currently 25 years old. I graduated university in New Zealand when I was 21 years old. After graduating, I worked for about four or five months in sort of like project management area. So then, yeah, I did that. And then I wanted to travel. And so I got on a plane and I flew with my friend to Southeast Asia. And we had one-way flights. We flew to Thailand. We traveled Thailand for 1 month. And then my friend said, I'm going to go home because there's a girl back home that I miss. So I went. So he left me. And just before he left me, I met a girl from Austria called Maria.
Just like on the town?
Basically, we were in a hostel called 88 Backpackers, and there was a beer pong table.
Sweet. Let's just go again. Sorry.
No problem at all.
And my friend and I were playing beer pong at this table, and Maria and her friend were eating dinner. Mm-hmm. And we liked them. We thought they were pretty. My friend kept saying to me, oh, go and ask these girls to join us if they want to play beer pong with us.
Nice.
Over time, I ended up asking her or them. We played a game together. We got to know each other. Long story short, I ended up traveling with Maria. I fell in love with her.
She was that good at beer pong?
Whoa. No, she sucks at beer pong. So do I, though. And
that's really sweet, man. I feel like these hostel meetups, like usually I'm guessing it's a lot of hookups. So it's really sweet to hear that, you know, kind of randomly two people from very opposite sides of the world meet in kind of another random part of the world, just in the right place at the right time. And then you just, there's something sparks.
Yeah. Actually at the start, it was the opposite of spark though. I claimed, so I said to her, like, I'm so sorry. But I just don't want anything to do with you regarding relationships. This is strictly...
Wait, how far into knowing her did you tell her that?
That was like the first week, basically.
You just said, I don't want anything to do with you.
No, it was more like, I like my independence and I don't really want to travel with you as a partner. Like, this is nothing more than just... We're just friends. Like,
I'm passing through, honey.
Yeah, kind of. And then she, which turned me like... She was like, yeah, me too. I just broke up with my ex-boyfriend and you were the, like, how you're the last person, you know, I don't want a relationship. And because I said that and she said that
taboo,
it created, yeah, the groundwork was so open so that I was just completely myself and she was completely herself because we'd already said we don't want to have a relationship. I looked like Donald Trump with my hand movements.
Fantastic relationship. But I do the worst. I'm the only person who can't do a Trump impression. It's so embarrassing.
And then we ended up falling in love and I moved to Austria to visit her.
So it was like still on the trip. There's like this magic thing. Like you kind of push each other away, which made it so much more attractive. And then,
yeah.
And then, okay.
Vietnam, so, man. Vietnam got us.
It was in Vietnam.
In Vietnam. Yeah.
So then you spark and then who has to leave first?
We both decided when we started traveling together that we would leave it the same day or one day. She left a day later. She was going to go back to a different place in Asia and I was going to go meet someone else. It's such a long story. It's a little bit complicated.
That's what podcasts are for.
Do you want to hear it?
If you're happy to tell it, I'd love to know.
I hope people listen. This is it.
No, careful, man. It's, you know, the people who are listening because they're big fans of your videos, they get to finally meet you a little
bit.
Yeah,
they're not going to be a fan after they hear this, though. Right? No. So
now I'm very curious.
No. So it's so bad. Before I went traveling with Maria, so my current girlfriend, I'd met this Australian girl in Cambodia as well.
Dude, what?
I know. It's a little bit confusing, but she was, we had a fun together, like just like randomly on a night. Hey, what's up, Aussie? What's up, Kiwi? What's up, New Zealand? Yeah. And then I somehow got her Instagram and then I was just like, yeah, I'll come back and visit you. And then since I said that, like I stuck to my word, but I didn't tell Maria. So I didn't expect to fall in love with Maria. I ended up falling in love with Maria and then telling her, yeah, I'm going to go back to Cambodia, but not really telling her why because all of this just happened so fast.
Oh, wow.
And then I went back to Cambodia to see this girl and hang out with her friends or this hostel basically again. And as soon as I got to Cambodia to see this Australian girl, I was like, nah. I can't do this. This is so wrong. I just cannot do this. And then I just told her, I was like, oh, I'm leaving. And I left her after 2 days or something. And then she blocked me. And then, yeah. And then I ended up messaging Maria nonstop every day. And then, yeah. So eventually, but Maria was quite upset that I didn't explain that I.
Sure. Yeah, that's valid. That's valid.
Yeah.
But I mean, in those early stages of things in relationships, there's so many mistakes that take place. I mean, you know, even in my case, maybe it wasn't exactly that kind of level, but there's so many things that trip up and get confused. And there's a lot of pressure. Like there's a lot of things you're trying to make happen so quickly and you're stumbling over yourself because like love or this rush of hormones and everything is so, it's meant to trip you up.
Yeah.
And you're meant to make a lot of mistakes. But if you get past that part, then it's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, so, you know, what's the next step? So you guys leave together and you didn't go straight to Austria, did you? Did you go straight to Austria? Or you went home first for a while?
No, I went straight to Austria. I just had a green backpack.
What did your, okay, wow.
This story is crazy. You want to hear this?
This is crazy. I do want to hear it.
So I was, I think I was 21 years old. And I just had this green backpack with all, I don't know, shorts, just basic stuff, right? Yeah. And then I was like, I messaged Maria. I was like, Maria, I'm going to come visit you. I'm going to come hang out She's like, oh, I don't know, because my mum and dad and Opa, and it's a farmhouse and it's not that nice and blah, blah, blah. That's all good. It's fine. I'll come. I'm going to come. She's like, okay. She asks her mum, mum, can this guy from New Zealand visit me? The mum's like, how long? And then Maria's like, oh, maximum 2 weeks. And then Maria's like, and then I come. And Maria didn't even meet me. She was working, right? So
she couldn't come pick you up.
No. So I got picked up by her friend.
Okay, I thought you were going to say her mom.
No, but it's, yeah, her friend, super lovely. Friend picks me up, takes me to the farmhouse. And then I'm like, you know, like knocks on the door. And then with my green backpack, and I'm just like this. It's like you have this to meet.
This doughy-eyed 21-year-old Johnny.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Is Maria around?
And I didn't. Yeah.
I'm the guy she met.
Yeah. You know? And so the door opens and her mom's there and she's like, how about? No. She's like, hey. And I'm like, hello. And then I just gave her a hug. And then apparently I learned.
She shoved you into a mud pile and said, get the fuck off my ass.
You're saying, who are you? No, then she like was very surprised because they don't really hug in their family. And
yeah, I hear that a lot. Yeah.
Then she hugged me back. I came in. I ate some steak and some noodles.
Ooh, nice.
But nobody spoke English. So the whole time I was trying to figure out like, what are they saying? And
oh, wow.
I was just sitting in this kitchen. Nah, just me in this kitchen with like all of these Austrians and just like, what am I like? What is happening?
Dude, how could Maria throw you into that? How could she throw you into that? Your first day.
I was happy. I was happy. Like I was so used to like seeing new things every day from traveling anywhere. Mm. So this was,
you were game for it.
Yeah. This was kind of normalish at that time. But thinking back, I'm like, how did you do that?
Dude, it's unbelievable.
It's like weird that you set like they, and then her dad comes in, Maria's dad comes in and forgot that I was visiting, right? So Maria's dad's like, yo, where is this? Who is this? And then they're like, oh, this is the Johnny aus New Zealand. This is Johnny from New Zealand. And then he's like, ah, so, aber Deutsch kann er nicht, oder? Like Germany. He doesn't know German. And then they were like, nah, just English. And then he's like, so your bast is most lernen. Like he's gotta learn it then. Yeah. Zero interest in speaking English with me. I get it. Like it's fine, like whatever. Mm-hmm. But completely opposite from my parents. I mean, obviously my parents don't speak German. But it's just like that's a weird thing to say the first time you meet.
Very
this
different
guy.
Mentality. Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely understand that. I've found that to be so interesting too, of the mentalities. I can only speak from my experiences in Germany, but like there's been so many occasions of meeting someone and you either get like one other side of the coin, which is like, you know, maybe their English isn't great. Maybe it is, but they're willing to try and speak with you just to at least get things going, to have build something up, get you what you need, have a nice, to make effort. Or you might just get that completely other side of the coin, which is like, yeah, er muss lernen.
Yeah.
Pick it up, you know, come on, let's go.
Better start working, yeah.
Yeah. And it's the other side, like, although fair, because you're in a foreign country and, you know, that's their house, their rules. On the other side, it's like, yeah, it's not so welcoming. You know, it's a little bit like, ugh, but I don't know. It's tough. It depends on the context, obviously.
Yeah.
And how long did you stay upon that first visit at this farmhouse? 6 years. No.
Nah, I think I stayed there for about 4 months and the whole time.
The mom never got antsy with you. They never got tired.
Like, no, it was the opposite. So until this day, the first ever best friend I made in Austria was my girlfriend's mom.
That's like, so sweet.
She and I I'd wake up, I'd come in the kitchen. Hey, how's it going? She'd milk cows at 6 a.m. So they're farmers, right? Mm-hmm. So she'd milk cows and then she like said to me, I said to her, I think, do you want me to help you? So I went out with her. We bought boots. The camera's off. I don't know if we should do this again.
It stopped.
Helping her mom. Okay, starting now. So I bought boots and this farmer attire, basically. Mm-hmm. And then every afternoon at 5 p.m., I'd go into the barn with them or the whatever, and I'd for an hour or so milk the cows with her mum.
Have you ever done that kind of work before?
Nah.
She taught you how to do it?
Yeah.
How was it?
I was learning German, learning how to milk cows, and bonding with her mum. Yeah.
And, dude, this and is so crazy.
It was like one of the best times of my life. I mean, that's such a weird situation to be in.
Yeah.
And it built, again, this foundation of trust with her mum and taught me Austria and German and respect. They respected me a lot because I wasn't just this dude coming here to sleep with their daughter or whatever. I was here because I liked her and I wanted to stay and I wanted to show that. And
yeah.
And I loved Austria and I was, yeah, just, I was very interested. And eventually we moved out into an apartment and that's when I think the real work started. That's when I got a job. That's when I started working as a brand manager for a, marketing company.
Were you doing that job in German?
Nah, in English, luckily.
Okay, yeah, because that would be super tough.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when you were staying at this barn, were you taking German courses at a school or something? Or how were you making money or did you still have savings?
Yeah, I still had savings. When I was in New Zealand, the whole time I was studying, I worked at McDonald's.
Oh, nice.
And then I worked in a cafe. So I was always earning money and I saved, I think I must have saved like $20,000 New Zealand dollars, which got me until...
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty good for a student, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, obviously I had a student debt, but that was something that you can pay off later.
Mm-hmm.
But like I was good for that time until I think I had 5,000 left when I started working in Austria.
Damn, so you're also really efficient with how you spent it.
Yeah. Obviously, Southeast Asia is cheap, but...
Yeah, it's fair. But yeah. How far were you from the nearest, like, town or cities? I mean, a barn, I mean, I guess it's a bit out in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yeah, it's the town is called Strasswalchen. And I don't know the population. It's probably quite small, but that is a decent town. Like you've got a main street with a bank and a fireware thing place and a couple cafes and a couple restaurants. And it's like, it's not like out in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
But it's enough countryside to get people talking. Like people knew there's this New Zealander living in our town now.
So you were kind of the talk of the town for a bit there.
I wouldn't say talk of the town, but New Zealander moving to Austria put some ears in, lifted some ears up.
It does have this sort of like strain. It does make you kind of want to double check that you heard right. And this might sound not the way I mean it, but like if you think of hearing an American in some country, it kind of isn't as shocking, like, oh, I met this American guy in Japan, or I met this American guy in, in Mexico or something. That kind of feels like, there's that guy, he's living there now. I know an American guy who moved to Japan, but a New Zealander in Austria is so unique.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you, I think Tom Segura has a joke about someone being shocked that they saw a Chinese guy born and raised in Madrid. And like the way they spoke Spanish, but the way they looked just didn't.
Yeah,
click,
I've seen that. I've seen that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love that joke because that feeling kind of reminds me of that when I think of you as a New Zealander in Austria. It's so unique. And you're the only person I know from New Zealand who lives in Austria. I mean, obviously, I don't know that many people living in Austria, but
yeah.
Have you found like, in my case, when I moved to Munich, I was trying so hard to make a group of friends. And the first path that I took, which ended up being the least successful, actually, was Googling all these expat groups and going to like English language theaters and open mics and stuff like that. Did you openly search for like native English speaking friend groups at first, or did you just dive balls into the German?
Yeah. That's a good question. And that's a lot. I think there's a lot to talk about there. I don't think I was focused on Maria was the first priority. So it's like, hey, I want to hang out with her. And then a lot of Austria came with her. So it's like her family, I never speak English to them. It's just when Maria's family's around, I'm in German mode. Like
that's awesome.
Full speed. And then gradually, as I got this job, it was English speaking job. So then I started filtering through the English speaking friends.
Yeah, the job, sure, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And I did find some English comedy nights and stuff like that. But I think, and this is something I'm happy about and something that I'd warn other expats, foreigners, is just make sure that you don't get in your wolf pack, you know? So if you're from America, be careful to not find an American wolf pack in your... Yeah,
I completely overseas. Agree with that. Yeah.
Or if you're from Turkey, I don't know, just be careful to, because at the end of the day, you're not only going to benefit from having Austrian culture and Austrian friends.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. You're going to survive much nicer in this country. This isn't Turkey. This isn't New Zealand or America. This is Austria.
Yeah.
You need to understand that, and you can't just run away from it and find a group of friends and then all complain about living there. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Which is a lot of... Look, I've done that so much. I've complained so many times to Australians or mostly Australian people. Like, oh, they do it wrong here. This is stupid. It's okay, leave. Leave. Is that if that's a problem, right. Exactly. Then leave. Stop complaining. Why are you here then? You know?
Exactly.
So it's like, of course it's different from your country. And find a wolf pack. Find your English speakers. But... Like, come on, you have to integrate. This is Austria.
Yeah.
Buy a Lederhose. Buy a, you know, drink your beer. Like,
see, your philosophy is go like 100% in or don't stay?
I think so. It's done well for me. Yeah, I have tips for like my side for escaping. Like, whenever we have a family event, it's all German or all Austrian German.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't handle it sometimes, so I need to go and do the dishes or something, or I'll go for a walk by myself outside,
listen to an English podcast or something. Yeah,
for sure.
You do seem to have a much higher tolerance for being around or absorbed in the language than I do. There's times, obviously, I mean, we joked about doing this podcast in German, but there's times where I'm put in a position where it's what I have to do. And when I get past that mental block of, well, this is happening and this is what I have to do, then actually I get kind of comfortable, because I start to realize people understand and respect the restrictions I have, or like the limitations I have on that language. And if I'm just trying, then 99% of the time they're really cool about it. And they kind of look past grammatical errors, and they, you know, most of the time, if you're really making an effort, it's acknowledged, and people like that. It's like you were saying, like you're in someone else's world and you're trying to integrate and stuff. But given that, I'm still more nervous to speak it, unless I'm in a situation like at lunch today or something, being able to order a burger or whatever in German.
But I think that you're great. Like, you have very, very good pronunciation. I'm not German or Austrian, but I think so. And I feel like you can do a lot in German. I don't know. I feel like you're talking yourself down a bit.
I mean, I might be, but I'm not consciously trying to do that. I'm not trying to trick people so that I can show up one day and be like this mega fluent guy. I really just have a lot of insecurity with it. And there's times where confidence comes out of nowhere. Like, maybe you're two beers in and you're at this dinner thing and someone speaks only German, but they're so nice. So you make an effort and then they're so engaged. And then you have this whole conversation, or like with family and stuff, you make the effort. And, but I wanted to ask if you've officially, like, what level of German certification you've passed for your visa or whatever.
Yeah, I've heard you're B1, right?
I'm B1, but on paper, but I don't know if I've fallen down since then.
I don't think I'm even B1. I feel like
true, man. Your conversation in German is it's basically fluent.
Yeah. Man, I've always hated studying stuff, and I've always learned by doing. And that's like I went to two courses. I did A1 and A2, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like the basic stuff.
Yeah. Starter kit.
Yeah. But other than that, it's just go out on the street and speak to the people, you know? I don't know. I'm hopefully like B1 to B2, B something like that.
I imagine you must be at least B2. My friend Ben, he's an English guy here, and he's officially passed his C2 fluency German certification.
Real.
Like, full on, never going to be lost again, completely up to date. I mean, I think he's human in the way that if he's not speaking a lot of German, maybe it dips down here and there. It's a muscle. I've talked about this on my podcast before, but like it's a muscle and you have to flex it.
Yeah.
You have to exercise it.
Go
ahead.
Sorry.
No.
Your bit on when someone asked you like something about learning German and you were saying learning German is a never ending struggle. And mm-hmm. to be fluent, you have to be a psychopath. You said something like that, right?
Yeah.
That's so true. That's so true. Like,
I forgot.
Bro, if you're going to go and learn den, dir, den, sie, des, like all of this blitz and this das, des, die.
All the prefixes and conjugation.
Man.
You have to be Patrick Bateman. You have to be willing to murder Jared Leto with an axe.
Yeah.
Nothing normal about that at all.
That scene fits the Dia de Dust scene. That where he does he polishes his axe and then slices.
Yeah, he's got the rain jacket on. Yeah. Hey, let's listen to Helge Schneider. Yeah. It's the funniest jazz combo.
So true. Yeah. Screw that.
It's horrifying, man. Like it's so difficult. And if someone like you is learning it. Learning their own kind of fluency through conversation, that's one thing. It's like, hey, you're immersive, you're a go-getter, you learn by doing. That's one thing on its own. But then someone like my friend Ben, for example, or many other people that I know who are like such bookworms and like can study and memorize and be able to like even improvise around those rules to make sure they get it all right. It's insane to me. I just don't have the
I'm just kidding.
I just don't have the brain for it.
Yeah.
But no. Okay. So then you got this marketing job, and where are you living at the time that you're doing this? You're out of the barn and you're working in marketing.
Salzburg City. Yeah.
In Salzburg. Is that in? And how did you guys land there? Was that where Maria wanted to go? Or was she going to study there? Or
yeah. So her parents lived just out of Salzburg, so it made sense that we go into the city.
Okay.
And that city's like the best. I don't know. If anyone's listening from Salzburg, I mean,
shout out Salzburg. Anyway,
like, it's such a nice city. It's such a nice city.
What do you
city.
Love about it? And how would you compare it to Vienna?
Vienna's a city. Salzburg's like a dwarf.
It's a city.
Now, Vienna's got those buildings that are like high enough to be like, it's a city, right?
Yeah.
Like you can find 700 taco shops within like, I don't know how many, whatever. You know what I mean? Like there's so many options and there's so many hostels, clubs, bars, places, the public transport, the U-Bahn, like the, same with Munich probably. There's so many different whatever. Salzburg's more of a town that's just a little bit bigger than a town.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got two Vietnamese shops. But it maintains like low traffic. You don't have much traffic jams. You can bike anywhere within like 15 minutes. There's a river flowing through the middle of it. So you just have this beautiful river. You can drink beers next to you.
That's similar to Munich there. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's got a river wave like Munich does. So you can even surf there. Yeah. And Salzburg's just pretty wholesome. I do also say that the people make the place. So I do, and I do know like some very good people in Salzburg. And therefore, I do like it a bit more probably. But
do you ever find yourself in a position where you'd want to move, or you think you're pretty happy there to stay?
Yeah, I think the only reason to move would probably be because of connections and business and stuff, but. Like, obviously, if I go to Vienna, I'm going to have so many more podcast guests or so many more video opportunities. Or
Do you get people reaching out to you from Germany to come and do, brand things or podcast interviews? Like, your audience is, I'm guessing, majority Austrian, but also connected to that is a lot of Germany. So do you, I think you said a lot of your fans are also in Munich. Do you get things that are requesting or asking you to cross the border much or not so much? Every now and then?
I don't think I've had anything.
It's all been in Austria.
Yeah.
But also that makes sense. No one in Austria is going to ask me, I think, to come over there for something yet, maybe after this interview with you.
Yeah. I mean, they're international, some are international brands like Samsung and some agencies from Berlin, but they would have they would have targets to market to Austria. I don't know. So mm-hmm. I don't know. No one said, hey, come over to Munich and promote.
Or Berlin.
Berlin. Yeah.
When you were first learning the language, what was like, what were a few roadblocks you came across? Like for me, it sometimes is just like this joke we just made about Berlin, but like hearing in German how the sentence is structured, like, can you please to me the napkin pass? Like, you know, like,
what?
Like instead of can you please pass me the napkin? It's like, can you please to me the napkin pass? You know, like hearing the order in German sometimes trips me up because I think, why would you ask it like that? Instead of just being in the moment, I overthink, why is the language structured this way at all? It seems so wrong. When you were learning German in your way, in your position, were there things that tripped you up like that trips me up? Like sounds or tones or...
Like yesterday, have I sushi is eaten?
Yeah, things like this. Guess like when you're learning it, do you go like, wait, why are we saying that?
Yeah. That's for sure der, die, das. Like I've said that to, I mean, this is everyone.
That'll be on my gravestone. Der, die, das. Like dead. What? Der, die, das, dead.
Yes, because of der, die, das. That's like the holy grail of confusion because there's no... Mm-hmm. real reason.
Why is the table like why is a table masculine? Why is this neutral? Why is a shelf female? Like you don't and that's none of those are right, by the way. It's just like some things are I guess that's with Spanish a bit too, but at least with Spanish the things match, like el and la are always gonna be el and la for masculine and feminine. But with German, why is an inanimate object masculine or female?
Yeah.
And why is a baby neutral?
Yeah.
It. Das Baby. It's insane.
Yeah. There's a few that I can think of. One is the Buchstaben. I made a video on this. Do you know what Buchstaben means?
Is the alphabet, right?
Yeah, like read, can you spell it out? Kannst du das bitte buchstabieren? I think, pretty sure.
Makes sense.
And then it goes like, wie ist dein Name? And your name is Elijah. Do you know the name Elijah? Elijah? So then you spell it out, right? And you're like, So it's like the I and the E is so annoying.
Yeah, they're so close. They're so close that it's so frustrating.
E und I und E. Nah, so it's like I can't do that. When I go, I just go J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N or John J-O. It's like, bro, I'm not doing this today. Yeah. And
totally.
Same with telephone numbers. Like they always say it so fast. It's like 56. Like,
yeah,
also so with Austrian fast. Dialect, it's like, and I'm like, when I go and I'm like, 2, 3, 1, 7, 8, and they're like, bist du a kind? Or like,
This thing is really hitting home for me. And also trying to pronounce a word with any form of umlaut, with the O.
Oh, really? Yeah.
The A, like the A with the umlaut is like eh.
Yeah. Eh.
But I had a German teacher in my last semester in college before I moved, and they had some sort of tip that I forgot if it was for the, I think it was for the U, but it was like to make the sound E and then holding that sound, make your mouth very small, like E. And I was like, wow, I think that actually is that sound.
Yeah.
But I never remember it in the moment. And then always getting the, I don't know, that stuff always trips me up. Anyway, so you're in marketing, you're getting the language down, you're happy in your relationship, things are moving along. Where does it come along for you? Like, you know, were you a funny guy, a creative person? Where does it come along where you start making videos, and what were your first videos like?
I think I've always lacked confidence in my life a little bit. I've always thought,
welcome to my life. That's very much me.
Oh, really?
Lacking confidence. Really? Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it was really crazy. At one point, this was after I'll go back to it, but this was after I'd made a few videos and kind of had a bit of traction.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a lake camping drinking with friends and one dude, and we were having a circle where we go around, we say an honest thing about each other.
Oh, wow.
And this dude said to me, he's like, Johnny, you don't believe in yourself like you should. Like, do you not, you should believe in yourself more. And that stuck with me till the day I die, probably, because
oh, wow.
He said, like, just look at the things you're doing. Like, believe in yourself. You can do this. Like, this is great. And I sat there and I was like, you know what? I should stop talking down on myself and mm-hmm. I should do it more. Mm-hmm. So now today I'm always try to be very like bodenständig, like very grounded.
Yeah.
Because like an authentic and real and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the first video I ever did was about the bike lane. Because I thought the bike lanes were hilarious, how you can just walk in a bike lane and people, Austrians, will go crazy at you.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Nah, bist der Parkeweg schlecht, was du hast in the bike lane. And then you're just like standing there as a tourist. You're like, what? Like, what did I do? Because in New Zealand, it's not really a thing.
No, so, I didn't notice it before I came here.
Yeah?
I didn't realize it was like that, no. But yeah. I mean, also most of America didn't even have bike lanes until like 2015 or something.
Really?
I mean, New Orleans didn't have one until I moved to like 2016, 2015. Classic. Yeah. That's really crazy. I mean, it's a car city. It's a car right. country, you know?
Right.
Because I mean, Portland or, you know, Austin or New York, there's more bike stuff, but general other cities don't have it. And here, yeah, it's just, I had the same experience, like standing on a sidewalk. You don't really realize that it changes texture from like panels to pure pavement. And you're just walking on it, and then you hear these like, kling, 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 kling.
Yeah, yeah.
Shies on me. You know, whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. That's what we like to hear. Yeah, yeah, I heard a story yesterday. Two days ago. My friend runs bike tours, right?
Mm-hmm.
On a bike tour, lady falls off her bike, smacks her head on the concrete, blood's dripping everywhere. But of course, she's in the bike lane, right?
Oh my God.
And then, bro, she's bleeding. Her head is bleeding in the bike lane. She's like, they're calling the ambulance. The ambulance is coming. And then these Austrians come past like,
Oh my God.
And then luckily there was an Austrian guy there who was just like, and then there's this whole chaos because she's bleeding. No one's giving, like no one cares. And like,
she's just in the fucking way.
Yeah. Yeah. She's in the bike lane.
Oh my God, dude.
Get out of the bike lane.
I didn't realize that was so like unequivocally Austrian.
I mean, it's probably most in Amsterdam.
Right? In Amsterdam.
I heard.
I was just about to say like, well, what do you know? Germans and Austrians have more in common than they'd like to admit.
Yeah.
Cause I'm sure I could see that happening in Munich or maybe some small town in Bavaria somewhere.
They do. Yeah.
Man, that's so cold. Yeah. It's so cold.
Yeah. Bro, that's a clip for social media. If you can, that's, I reckon that's, because that's so, so funny how someone's going to hospital.
Yeah.
But get out of, yeah. Anyway.
No, but I was going to ask. So, yeah, that was your first, the first video you ever made was the one about the bike lane.
Exactly. Yeah. And that got, I think, 50K overnight or 24 hours. Was this like hours.
Did you start on TikTok or did you make
TikTok, it? TikTok, yeah. Both Instagram, but Instagram.
You started at the same time with both of them?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it took me, I think it took me a while before I posted to both.
Mm.
I started with TikTok with doing like these different videos, and then it wasn't much longer, but I waited before I like bled it over into the Instagram, which it became only that. Like if you go back 2 or 3 years on my Instagram, it's only the music stuff before that. Like there was no
leading
into this. It just changed.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, were you like, what year was this? What time were you making this first video?
This was in 2019. Okay. I'm pretty sure. Oh, July or something. I don't know. I don't know.
When you made that and you saw that kind of response, was that what encouraged you to try and maybe, were you thinking at all about making that into a career? Or for you, was it still like a fun hobby and you thought, that's cool. Like, that's something that's kind of cool. Or did you see it as something bigger like it is now?
I think in deep down inside of me, my dream, as many people have the same dream, was always to be self-sustaining, self-employed, you know, to be able to choose what you do when you wake up in the morning instead of working 9 to 5 and someone telling you what to do.
Yeah.
And so that led me to, that gave me the drive to just try stuff. And this was just something I tried and that worked. And I thought, okay, well, that worked. What about ladles? There's some funny things about that, right? Like it takes ages to put on and off. Let's try that video. Let's try and make a video about my first day in Austria, my second day in Austria, my first month in Austria. And then all of these videos, and I started to gather information of what worked. Some went great, some sucked.
Yeah.
And yeah, sure. I learned quite quickly what the trends were. And I never thought that would really make money, right? Like, well.
No, I mean, I wouldn't have thought that, you know, at the time when I started it.
Never what it is today.
I also wouldn't have thought that like the money would come from like doing a video for a company. I think when I started doing it, if the way I imagined like views or attention to be like now, I think I would have thought that all the money would come from the view count.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I wouldn't have even fantasized like, well, obviously there's not going to be some sort of brand partnership until I'm over a million or something. Why would they? But that actually was funny how early that started.
Yeah.
You know, how fast that became like the money thing as opposed to like, because actually views aren't making much money at all. You know, it's like a weird flip side to the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wish it was the clicks or the views, but it's not.
I was trying to remember when Instagram decided to stop paying for
views. Did they used to pay?
This is what I hear, but I guess I haven't Googled enough to know for sure.
We need Jamie.
But I heard we need Jamie. Pull that up.
That's such a cringe joke. That's such a fanboy.
Pull it up, Jamie.
Joke.
But we
so cringe.
I really wish that I knew for sure that. But like, if they did, I would love to know why they stopped. I guess because maybe there's so many new creators during the pandemic, perhaps. But not enough for them to really lose money.
Mm.
But when you started doing it, did you find, are there other creators based in Austrian humor that you were kind of getting inspiration from, or did you find yourself kind of alone?
No, I was alone. I think the first time I started playing the Austrians was a very big risk for me because I always thought I couldn't do it. And then I started doing it and it worked.
Yeah.
But my biggest inspiration was the Inspired Unemployed. Do you know these guys?
Inspired Unemployed?
Yeah.
No.
They're Australian guys.
Australian. And maybe I've seen their faces. There's so many Australian guys that I follow.
You've surely seen a couple of their videos. But their authenticity and their editing and the relatability of their videos was so inspirational for me that...
Australian Unemployed.
Oh, no, Inspired Unemployed.
Oh.
And that's what kicked off this whole thing.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
You can play it on the... if you want to.
I feel like this one guy, I must have...
I'm really grateful you guys have taken the time of your day to be here.
There is an immense amount of trust in this room. There's
an immense amount this is of trust. This. Don't play this one. They just did a TV show. That's from their TV from the show. But
oh, here we go.
9 a.m. Saturday morning. Gotta mow the lawns, love.
Mom and Dad every morning. Okay, yeah, so it's good, like sketches, and there's this one guy whose face seems very familiar. This guy with the eyeliner on the right. I feel like I've seen his face before. On the green shirt eyeliner. I feel like I know his face, but I can't say that I really know their stuff, but 1.7 million followers is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. And they've really, you know, whatever they do, they win at, it seems. It's really interesting. And yeah, so they were always a big inspiration for me. And I try and take their content style and put it into Austria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to think if I guess around the time that I started doing mine, the only people that I really saw continuously doing the stuff that I thought was like worth taking note of, I think was Uyen. I mean, I came across yours too, but it was for this Austrian. So for me, it wasn't in my, I mean, it's good to learn because your content's good, but like I was looking for the German specific stuff and Uyen was on the list and Liam, of course. But I think our styles are very different. I think, like, between the three of us.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's funny, like, And I love both, like, everyone so much. Like, I watch, like, it's so weird. Like, it's crazy. I feel like I know everyone, like, yeah, they're friends.
It feels like a bit, right?
Because, and then also you add the fact that you kind of do the same job a little bit. Like, I think, obviously, a bit smaller scale than those.
Of course, yeah. They're the godfathers.
Yeah. But, like, they're, I guess, what's her name? Uyen?
Uyen, I think.
Uyen. Her authenticity is really, really, really amazing. Like, come on. She's just going to win. And then Liam, like, come on. He is the definition of simplifying the most relatable aspects of living in Germany.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
It's just going to be interesting what the next 20 years look like, I guess.
I'm very curious about that too. I mean, meeting all these different creators, like we had Calvin and Hobbes on the show and Liam and them and us. And I wonder how what we do will morph into different things. And I feel like it's in the same way that I had no idea I was going to get into this. I have no idea what it might change into.
Mm.
And maybe the only thing I can do is just be open to it, you know? Mm. Like thinking, we talked earlier about maybe turning it into these live performances or something. And maybe that's what the next step is like live shows. Like people do live podcasts. Maybe it could be something like a live variety show thing that I can, you know, build a merch thing around and call the tour a name and maybe that's what it branches into. I don't know.
Do you know how like you said earlier, like Theo Von, Tom Segura, what's the name? The Machine? Bert Kreischer. For American examples, I'm not sure if people listening know these people, but the point that I'm making is they seem like a community, right? Like they do each other's podcasts, they help each other out.
Yeah.
They may go on tour together or they may do comedy sets together, but it's more like a community. And I think we miss that a little bit. I mean, if it's very new. I think all of us started 3-4 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
But like, I think that's one of the next steps. I hope so. I mean, of course, I don't, like, if someone doesn't want to work with me, then I totally respect it. But I want to build like a community and grow together. You know what I mean?
Yes, definitely.
And that's not only good for us and for each other, but for the people watching and stuff. I guess everyone knows, like, the amount of times you've been probably tagged on other people's contents.
Oh, yeah.
Saying, oh, you should do a video with this guy or something.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
Well, people want to see it. And yeah, I don't know. So that's my goal.
I mean, that's kind of what I'm trying to do by getting all the creators that I like on the podcast, because at least it's to start with something.
Yeah.
You know, who knows if maybe down the line, like my friend Hannah, who's a content creator who runs this organization, Business Babes Abroad.
Okay.
She's talked about maybe setting up some sort of, you know, international creators event somehow, somewhere. And then maybe we can invite like you, maybe Uyen and Liam, who knows, but you know, like the ones that we know or would be able to try and make it or something. And then like, yeah, you know, maybe try and build this community and talk about budgets and talk about creative ideas and share notes on things we've learned, because it's the only way I think we can better ourselves is to be open to that.
Yeah. And Mr. Beast is like, his testimony is that if you're a content creator, you should help each other. That's like the if you're not doing it, stupid, he says, because if you can tell someone like that a mistake that you learned 6 months ago and then they don't have to make the mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Mr. Beast is obviously like,
it's a good morality clause to live by, you know, and because I think it's sometimes in this business and in a lot of similar businesses, it can tend to go in the direction of, If you help someone else be successful, it takes yours away.
Yeah, and I've been guilty of that.
Me too. Everybody still has a little bit. Sure. It's like the curse of that kind of job, and also comes with it, you know, jealousy and competition and stuff like that. And maybe in some little facets, it can be healthy to have that because it's a driving force sometimes. But in the end, it's like you were saying earlier. I think it's healthier and probably even better and more productive to, like you said, to help someone maybe not make the same mistake you made and to help encourage each other and to eliminate the unhealthy relationships that we have, because we're really like, whatever, if I get 100,000 more followers, I'm not taking them from you or from Liam or from Hannah or whatever. They probably follow all of us equally in a sense, or like will eventually, you know. It's like, I don't think any of us is taking anyone away. Cause like, even like you were saying, people are sending us each other's videos all the time. I get your videos all the time. I get people sending me, like Liam and Uyen's, but also
I always get your videos.
Dude,
I always get everyone's videos. I get all so many videos from everyone else.
It's all the time.
And then I obviously like, it's like inspiration as well. Cause you want to make you see it and you're like, oh man, that's a good idea. How do they're smart. How can I do this?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, I had an idea that was similar to that. I like how they did it. Maybe I can take my first idea and like a part of theirs and make it a fresh idea.
Yeah.
And do it my way through my voice.
I got a question. What's your thoughts on copying? Because I've been copied, once. I'd say, I want to say once very badly. Like it really hurt me.
A creator like straight up stole exactly what you did?
Exactly. Yeah. Only had like 20,000 TikTok followers. Only like, that was nothing. But video went, I don't know, it got like 100,000 views. So a few. And
it was another like Austrian creator.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And this guy, man, he took the exact seat I was sitting at on the table. And the roles were played exactly with his girlfriend, like I played with my girlfriend. And the exact words were said for the exact thing, for the exact blah, blah, blah. And I was annoyed because I was like, you can do it. Do my idea. Just don't.
No, I don't think that's cool
exactly.
at all.
Exactly.
I think if he's going to do it exactly, he should use your sound do the sound. And so you still get the... You still get the credit and your sound and your voice is used, but it's just him like, because that's also starting like a trend sound. You know, that's him still giving you that credit. It's still your original sound is your video, but maybe him doing the voices on top.
Yeah.
That would be the only case where I'd say it's okay. But you see that stuff all the time that people like, I mean, did you see the whole, I don't know if H3 did a video about it, but where someone was like, stealing exactly the same YouTube video and even recreating the same thumbnail. It was like a guy in like a bright shirt with this crazy blue background. And it was like, stayed in this $20,000 hostel so-and-so. Da, da, da. And it was like the same picture, title, video. It was some YouTuber who...
Copied who?
Some nobody who was building an audience copied like two... like. Print and paste copied everything of a big travel YouTuber and got like 10 million views for their video, copying it exactly. And I see that all the time. And also with TikTok, like you'll see these confessional TikToks of like, I hate to do this. I hate to be that guy. Normally I don't do content like this, but this person stole my video, stole my idea, stole my content.
And yeah.
Like I know it's a lot of gray area because there's this whole thing about, you know, good artists borrow, great artists steal. Inspiration comes from so many different places. When you're mocking a culture, there's only so many new really perspectives you can take unless you try and dig a little deeper or get more niche. But I mean, to literally like copy and paste your script.
Yeah.
I think that's not cool.
Yeah. I wish I saved it so I can show you, but I just blocked the guy and I was like, okay, you're not seeing any more of my stuff from
totally, man. I mean, these guys are scabs. It's really, I think that's very frustrating.
Yeah. But at the time he had like, 150,000 followers and way more than me. So of course, when he remade it, he got like 10 times more views than me. Not 10 times, like 3 times. But that annoyed me because it's my creativity being monetized for his, like, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's like a major food chain stealing the recipe for a ice cream sundae from a small mom and pop shop.
Yeah, but then
like, oh, welcome to the new McDonald's sundae flavor. You're like, but that was my recipe.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Something that I like my friends for though as well is that they said to me like, oh dude, just chill out. Like doesn't matter. Who cares? Doesn't matter. And
well, I mean, to an extent, I think.
I don't know. I like that basically their intention was don't get too stressed, just keep doing what you're doing. At the end of the day, I guess if he copied you, then you already
there's some quality there.
Yeah, you've proven that. Something. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for sure, to an extent, like don't obsess and lose sleep and like ruin your life over it, but good to take note, block him and keep an eye out for that stuff in the future.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all like lesson, like learning lessons. So you've grown such a huge audience in the last couple of years doing your videos, and you know your growth on Instagram and TikTok and stuff has grown. What would be like a 5-year goal? You know, we're talking about things that we see things changing. If your career stayed the same as it is now, would you have like, you know, a new follower goal or like an achievement for how much kind of overall income you'd like to be making in 5 years or places you'd like to get to professionally? Do you have an idea of what you'd like to see?
The thing for me, my goal, I guess, is very, very simple. Is the most important thing is that I'm happy, that my mental health is good, and that the people I care about are happy and good. So Maria, my girlfriend, myself, that we are happy and that life's good. And then the second priority is that I just want to make people laugh, like just try to bring joy to people's lives. And then from that, if I can live from that, that's the dream. Like that is the dream. I don't need to be a trillionaire. I don't need a yacht. I don't need 3 houses.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Do what I do, make people happy, make people smile, make people's day, and do that forever if I can.
And that's kind of the dream, right?
Yeah, right. It's like it's so much more meaning for my life than, I don't know, selling a Doritos bag or whatever.
Yeah, like, don't point out my Doritos bag. He didn't do anything to you.
Screw your Doritos
bag. Leave my Doritos bag alone. Doritos, if you're looking to sponsor, I'm a pretty big fan. Yeah. Doritos are hot and spicy Pringles. Pizza-flavored Pringles. Yeah. Oh, my God. Outside of content creation, like, is there something you'd like to see yourself trying new? Like, maybe being actor or something, or trying a different...
So put all of that aside, like I want $1 billion like that. Sorry, were you finished or?
Yeah, just, yeah. What anything you'd like to try new that you haven't tried or push yourself in a certain direction?
Yeah. I'd love to do live shows. Like you said earlier,
yeah?
I'd like to try and do live shows maybe in 5 years. Right now I'm happy. And there's a lot to do and I would love to hire someone.
Yes. God. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to start a social media marketing agency.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that would be a big dream where I can sort of like do what I do now and teach others to do what I do now. I mean, not that I'm an expert, but I'd like to open that and to work with companies and to create content and make people laugh through an agency.
Yeah.
And there's a few other things, but I don't know. Yeah, I haven't really defined them yet. I mean, yeah.
What is going on upstairs here?
Some kids are playing or something.
No one's supposed to be here right now.
Oh.
But it sounds so loud, right?
Do you want to go have a look?
How much time have we done so far?
An hour.
Oh, we already did an hour. Then we can just wrap it up. Well, let me think here how we want to say things here at the end. I would say I'm very thankful. Like you came here from Austria today to come to my little cozy little dark man cave room. And yeah. It's been really like, such a pleasure to get to know you. It's again, like part of what we said earlier, building this community. And, if there's anything I can ever do to contribute to helping you in some way, I'll always answer the phone. I think you're super nice guy, super genuine. I love your content. I think you're doing a great job and I think you're making a lot of people very happy and you should keep doing it. And thanks for coming here, man. And I hope we can do more of these and maybe we can make more videos together. And hopefully this is just the beginning of a nice long friendship.
Yeah. Likewise, if you're listening and you're a foreigner and you're learning German and stuff, then you're the best. I like you. Keep working hard.
Absolutely, dude.
Keep going. Cheers.
So yeah, thank you, Johnny. It's Austrian. I'll put all his links in the show notes. Austrian Kiwi on Instagram, TikTok. We're building up everything. Thanks again, man.
Yeah, easy.
See you next time.
Yeah, next time. Easy.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.